You're tuned into Inside Lowell. Inside Lowell podcast brought to you in part by Washington Savings Bank, serving the greater Lowell community for over 130 years. Make the switch now to Washington Savings Bank.
WellPoint. Unicare is now WellPoint. New name, same commitment to Massachusetts. At WellPoint, your whole health is their whole point.
Boston North Company, offering a wide variety of business solutions to help restaurant and retail clients save money. Boston North. Mahoney Oil Company, providing warmth and protection to families in Greater Lowell and Southern New Hampshire since 1925. That's Mahoney Oil. Francis E. Provencia Insurance. For auto, home, business, and life, trust the agency Greater Lowell has counted on for more than 40 years. Francis E. Provencia Insurance. GoPuff. A grocery store right at your fingertips. Use the code LOWELL20 to receive $20 off your first order of $21, plus free delivery. Download the GoPuff app or visit GoPuff.com today. And by the Massachusetts Pirates, bringing all the hard-hitting action and excitement of arena football to the Songa Center in Lowell. Get your tickets today by visiting MassPiratesFootball.com. And now, time for another Inside Lowell podcast. Inside Lowell. If Lowell is your home, this is your place.
Welcome to the Gratefully Yours Wine Show. This Inside Lowell podcast is coming to you from WellPoint Studios. Unicare is now a WellPoint. New name, same commitment to Massachusetts. At WellPoint, your whole health is their whole point. I hope they have some wine in that health plan.
Oh, I would think so. I would think so.
Yeah. I'm Jim Campanini, co-host of the show. And my other co-host is Mike Pigeon, the wine butler. Yep. Welcome. How
good
you doing?
Good to see you. Good, good. I hear you get the clubs going.
Well, yesterday I played my first round of golf. I've been putting it off because I normally don't play till the weather breaks and it's at least 60 degrees. But I've had the bug ever since I came back from Florida, and I've been watching people. I went up there Saturday at Long Meadow, golf club, and I sat on the patio, smoked a cigar. It was so beautiful sitting in the sun. Almost fell asleep in the chair, and I watched the people playing. I said, gee, you know. So it wasn't bad yesterday. The wind died down, you know, and I played with some nice people, and didn't score well, but I hit the ball well. Hit one ball into the water. You know,
but well, only one.
But I didn't check my bag before I played. I only had two balls in my bag. I said, boy, I said, this is going to be tough finish this round. But I did finish with the, you know, my one ball. So.
With all the rain we've been having, it's a wonder every shot doesn't go in the water with all the fairways soaked.
It was incredible. But so, this week I think is going to be too cold to snow, but. We're expecting snow, but hopefully next week I'll be out there, you know,
and
working on the game. So that's good. And drinking wine.
You know? Absolutely.
Drinking wine. So this week, Mike and I, you know, we wine is our passion, but we also do a lot of, reading and catching up on some of the different things. And Mike read a book on wine. I read a book on wine. So he said, hey, let's just give a brief description for people out there who might be interested. So we swap books after we read them so we both get a chance. But Mike's got an interesting one. He was very enthused about it.
Yeah.
So why don't you hold it up and tell the people the title? And
it's a nice, tight book, The Vines of San Lorenzo by Ed Steinberg. And it's who lives in Rome. He's not Italian, but he lives over there, and it's just a personal book. We've all read so many wine books, but that's it's done on such a personal note. It starts in the late fall after the grapes have been harvested, and you live with the vines through the winter in the pruning process into the next year, all through the fermentation process, the corking of the bottles, and you live with that Gaia family and Angelo, and it's Nebbiolo there up near Piedmont.
Oh, Piedmont, yeah, Nebbiolo.
Yeah, probably 30 miles southwest of Piedmont. And they were such, and it goes back a little bit in history, they were such peasants up there at that time. They would never go the 30 miles into Piedmont. It was too much of a city. They stayed in that area and just made wine
wow.
for themselves. But, there's parts of it, maybe 20 pages on the fermentation process. It gets a little technical, but someone that really wants to know, that'd be very interesting to them. But
how was it written? Did you like the flow?
You're part of the family.
So I'm surprised you read it. There are no pictures in it, you know? There are no pictures in it.
There are pictures in it. That shows you haven't. Let me see it. No, this is for the viewers out there. You know, you can't quote him on anything because
the old blacks and whites of the.
I call those photos, and I call the next page photos.
Oh, nice collage.
I wouldn't go out on a limb and say there's no photos.
When I read it, maybe
when you read it, you can talk about it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
and Mr. Steinberg, he was born in Alabama, went to Harvard.
Yeah.
You know?
And he moved to Rome with his wife, and he lives there.
A Jewish guy writing about Italian wines.
He's a good writer, no matter what his nationality.
He's been moved.
It's just a personal book. You feel the emotion of the family, you know, with checking on the grapes, and they wait. Oh, it's, I found it, yeah. Personal, I'll leave it at that.
He lives in Rome. He's married to a Finnish flutist and has two children. Wow, interesting background. Okay, so why don't you tell people where you saw this book and what moved you to buy it?
Well, I went to you to pick up and look at your bottles of Sassicaia and other Tignello, all those nice wines you have in your cellar at the Vino Italiano in Waltham. And they showcase all the bottles of wine there with
beautiful their own. Stuff, beautiful.
And they had this little book there, and I just started leafing through it while you were buying some, and I'm saying, wow. And I'm used to reading wine books, but this is that personal taste to it, you know. Yeah. So I picked it up, and well worth the money. It was only
so like, look for the title, The Vines of San Lorenzo, if you're interested. You could probably look at it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com would be better. And or you can call Vino Italiano. Did they have any others?
That was the last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good book. So then I read about this this Tony Maggiata. He's a wine. He started his wine distribution company years ago just on finding he calls them hidden gems from Italy. And his hidden gems are like the small producer that doesn't have any big commercial contracts. They make the wines right there on their small vineyards. It could be 15, 10 acres, you know, of vines. And they're all estate-grown, estate bottles. Some of his producers have, you know, they only do 10,000 bottles a year and even less. And he says, those are the gems because you never see them on store shelves. So he started this Gladiator Wine Company to talk about these wines. And all his wines, hidden gems, they're between $15 and $30. So if you're interested in those wines, he says, yes, there's good wines out there. And for these prices from these little known producers, family run operations, okay? And he gives you the do's and don'ts of Italian wines. Now, the one thing he's big into the monovarietal wines. What are those? Those are single grape wines, you know, 100% of the grape. Italy has over 2,000 native grapes, which is the most of any country in the world. So just think all the different bottles of wine you can make from those 2,000 grapes. Well, he actually goes out and looks for them. He's traveled extensively to Italy and to Europe, and he goes out into these areas that most big companies don't go to, and even other distributors, because they're so hard to find these bottles, and then you gotta make the pathway to get them you know, to his company, and he's built up a nice network in New York City of wine stores and distributors who will bring in these hard to find wines, you know, and at those prices, they're pretty good. Most of his wines are unrated. So he debunks about scoring because he tells you, just like you've heard me on the show, you know, it's what your palate is and what you like. He says, forget about the scores. You know, most wine critics have never even heard of these wines, never traveled to these to these places. You know, it's like going down the road least taken, you know, and stuff. But he writes about it in this book. The only thing I disagree with him, he doesn't like he doesn't like blends. So the two super Tuscans, he writes about them. You know, most of them are made from international grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Petit Verdot, even in Italy. No, he's strictly into Italian native grapes and talks about it. But a lot of his grapes come, you know, from southern Italy, Sicily, Campania, Puglia, Campo Basso,
Sardinia,
the Molise province, you know. Yeah. And that's where he's from. His family was from Molise. Same place where my family is from in central Italy. So it's a great little book because he has a lot of tips. He writes it well. He explains the classification system in Italy. But I found the most intriguing thing, and you know, and I studied, you know, I went to school, got my certification in Italian wines. He's got maps and charts there, but he does. Tell you about the classification system and the three tiers of quality. He does it in a nice way, so it's easy to understand. He does have a nice, you know, some of these textbooks, you know, they're technical. They talk down to you. No, you easily can understand Tony. He writes in a nice narrative style and stuff. So you can get his book at www.gladiatorwine.com, or you can look for it on Amazon.com. That's how I bought it, on Amazon.com. So it's a great little book. It tells you about the top individual grapes in Italy and how to hunt down these wines. But the other thing is how to read a wine bottle.
Does it have any pictures in there for me to look at?
No pictures, but a lot of maps and charts. So, but it's an easy read. It's a paperback. It's an easy read. So I think you'll really, really enjoy it. So if you want to know more about the Italian wines and the hidden gems, and I tell you, I did learn a lot.
Nice pictures.
There's one picture there, yeah. Well, there's another one, too, over here.
You didn't read it thoroughly. Next time you're going to read it thoroughly. Look at the pictures.
Yeah, it's a nice snapshot. So two good books you might consider. If you got a wine friend in your life, you might want to get them a book. Maybe for celebration coming up. So we've done our education for the day. Now we're going to get into our drinking. So this, while we've been talking, this wine is just opening up. Now, Argentina's, one of Argentina's top wines, well, the number one produced wine is Malbec. Trivento is one of the largest and best producers in the Mendoza region. And this is look at this bottle. It's got more citations than a Chinese general. Look at it. It's got gold medal wine, 96 points. International trophy wine winner, challenge, 2002. So this Malbec is the Trivento Golden Reserve 12 months oak barrel. This is the 2020. Now, if you look at Trivento, if you go up to the New Hampshire liquor store, they've got like five or six Trivento Malbecs. The entry level sells for $8.99. They got a $9.99, $10.99. Why would you drink this? It's now on sale for $19.99.
Drink $3 it and you off. Will see. You'll get your reason.
Why would you buy this, okay, at $22? It's not on sale. I said $19.99. Well, there's always a top of the line or top tier premium quality wine, and I've tasted this one before. You know, there's good Malbec and there's excellent Malbec. You know, this is in that good to excellent range. For the price, It's really, really exceptional if you like Malbec. This would go great with a steak, grilled meats. I mean, you could have it with pizza, but I wouldn't waste it I'd really shake up your barbecue with this.
I don't know if you remember, but I never had a Malbec until about 12 years ago. I just hadn't. Mm-hmm. And we were under your pergola drinking one, and Joe Meehan from across the street came over, and he said, try this, Mike, and it was a layer cake Malbec. Yeah. And I think it was from Argentina then, layer cake. It's also from other. And I loved it. I'm saying, oh, my gosh. And since then, I've been a fan of Malbec. I've never tasted this one. And that's why, as you were saying with the prices, why should you pay that money? Try it, and you'll probably see why.
So why? So the grapes in this wine come from, Luca? It's the top Lejan de Cuyo. It's the top vineyard area for Malbec grapes. Matter of fact, this is where the Malbec grape was revived in the 1990s, where this big stir about Argentina wines. Because originally, you know, Malbec is a French grape. It comes from Cahors in Bordeaux, and it's called Cot, C-O-T. But the French, they use Malbec as a blending grape. As I was telling Teddy Panos and Mike before the show, you know, if you can find 100% varietal from France, from Cahors, Malbec, get it. Because it's probably, it's really, really good. And has a different taste profile than the Malbec from Argentina. Why? Argentina elevation, it's richer, gets a little more sunshine, and the soils are different. Okay, so the grapes that go into this wine, hand selected. Most of the vineyards in the mountains cannot use machinery. They can't get the trucks up there and everything. They have to be hand selected and hand picked. Okay, so this is a unique wine and where it comes from. So and it is aged in oak barrels for 10 months, which gives it a silkier, more oaky profile. Did you taste it yet?
I did.
Okay. What do you think?
It's a bold wine. That would stand up to a steak easily or a heavy meat dinner. It's a mouthful. It's solid. There's a lot of wine there.
Yeah. It's got that nice spicy kick at the end. Beautiful. Exceptional. So,
I like that.
And the what does the oak do now? I got to look at it if it's 100% new oak. I don't think so, because you don't want to destroy the fruity expression. You got a lot of. I mean, look at this. Look how color. That's a beautiful deep dark purple color.
Sometimes you wonder what the same grape would taste like without so much oak.
That's right. So this tells me that there's a little more balance to it, because it still retains that moderate acidity, but you get a lot of fruit flavor in there.
I'm not saying it's over oak. I'm just saying, I wonder what the grape would be with less oak.
And the black fruits and the blue fruits that come out in this are really powerful
wine.
Robust wine. Yeah. But it retains its nice, luxurious texture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the tannins are soft. Mm-hmm. Really soft. So that's what the oak
does. That's almost like a super Tuscan. I mean, it's just loaded with power.
I tell you, for $20, it's a great wine to have at your first upcoming spring barbecue. If you're going to do some steaks, other grilled meats, this is a good bottle to have around. And if you've got Malbec fans in your orbit, this would be a good buy. Mm-hmm. And right now, like I said, it's on sale. It's the Golden Reserve, because there is a Trivento Reserve that is a good wine, sells for $15.99. Okay. It's from the same region, Mendoza, but it's not in this top quality Lujan de Cayo zone. But it's still a very good wine. One of the things I want to say that the winemakers of this in Argentina, they're like, you know, like the soccer stars are heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know a good winemaker, they rise to that hero status. And this is made by Magdalena Viani and German de Cesare. Both of them are world accomplished. You even see German de Cesare, he signs the bottle. He's very, very proud of this. And like I said, this got some top ratings from not only international panels, but Robert Parker, Wine Advocate, gave it 91 points. James Suckling gave it 93 points. So it's, you know, if you go for ratings, but you don't, once you taste this and sip this, when it hits your palate, I think you're going to be very, very pleased with it. And people say, wow, you know your wines. You're serving us Malbec with steak.
Oh, yeah. That could handle a steak very well. Yeah.
So that's something worth trying. And did you have any good wines over Easter, the Easter holiday? Did you taste any good?
Oh, my God. I went out and bought a bottle, not that it, I got one for Greek Easter, too, the Zoe that we tried here.
Yes, yeah.
You know, very,
it's pretty good,
yeah. You know, again, stayed in a nice little comfort range price-wise, and it's that surprised me when we had that wine here. I had never, you know, I'm not into Greek wines, but that was a very good wine. Yeah.
So I like Tony Maggiatta's, he wrote the book there, The Philosophy, Hidden Gems, in that $15 to $30 range. He says, he claims in the book, you never have to go outside of that range to get a good wine, but you got to know what you're looking for, especially with Italian wines, okay? And
that's why they watch these shows.
That's why you watch this show. And this Trivento, you see this, you should scoop up a bottle or two, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. What did I have? Oh, I had the Lacrima Christi Rosso for our, we had the Easter buffet. It was almost like brunch at my niece's house, Amy Campanini and Amy Campanini Moss in Barrington, Rhode Island. I had to go over that Washington Bridge. The one side's been closed down now. You know, they're going to rebuild it and stuff. We brought down the Rosso, and everybody enjoyed it. They'd never had it before in their life. Once again, a very unique wine from a single grape from Campania. And the Tears of Christ, Lacrima Christi. So it was a nice day, and I hope your Easter was nice. So next week, we want to talk about some unique grapes from Italy. Have you ever tried a Punitello wine? Punitello?
Never, unless by accident.
So this is a very ancient and rare grape, and I had one of my distributors inquired about it. They sent me a nice bottle from a top winery, San Felice in Tuscany, which makes some great Super Tuscans. So we're going to bring that bottle in. We're going to try it. Okay?
Okay.
So until next week, any closing thoughts, Mike? You want to tell people?
No, always anxious to try the next week's wine.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully the weather is going to get warmer, and you're going to get more into that wine drinking weather. So until next week, may the wine be with you.
And you.